created a space where we can celebrate the unsung and the undervalued. A place where we focus on the many talents and influences for women within the culture in hopes to inspire women everywhere to overcome adversity in a male-dominated world. Welcome to Woman in Hip Hop.
What's up, everyone? It's your girl, Jackie Bell here for Woman in Hip Hop Podcast. And on this show, you know, we focus on the many talents and influence from women within the culture. And today is no exception. We have an amazing guest. She's one of my favorite singers, rappers, songwriters. And yes, her pen game is impeccable. So we're going to talk about all of that. We are here with the one and only Tink. How are you, Tink?
Hey, y'all. I'm so good. Thank you for that intro. Listen. Yeah. That felt good. It says thank you.
Oh man, you're welcome. And it's well deserved. And I mean every word. And we know you got the album Pillow Talk is out. We're going to get into that in a minute. But what I do like about this show is, just in case some people aren't familiar, which is crazy. Like, where are you guys living under a rock? But I like to give people just a little bit of a backstory. And off air, we talked about how we're both from the Midwest. You're from Chicago. I'm from Detroit. I just want to tap into a little bit of your upbringing. Is that cool?
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
I'm from the Midwest, but my name is Tink, and many people know me. I've been making music for a long time. I'm singing, I'm writing, I'm rapping. But yeah, I've been actually releasing albums since 2012. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my fans, they know me since we were like, you know, young teenagers. But yeah, I rep Chicago, and
So growing up in Chi-Town, yeah. When would you say you realized when you first had this impeccable talent? Like, when did you realize it?
I think I knew very early on. Like, I was in high school, actually. Like, you know, I was always involved in, like, talent shows, dance shows, and I was in choir, in school, in church. I was always just, like, doing something musical. I feel like when I gained like my buzz on social media back in 2012, I was releasing a lot of freestyles, and there was a moment where Chief Keef had like got hold of one of my freestyles, the 300 freestyle, and he tweeted it out to the world, and from that day forward it kind of like generated this crazy buzz in Chicago. Right. And that was my foot. That was my way in. Ever since, I've been releasing music, you know, just gaining traction off of that moment.
Yes, I love that. Shout out to Chief Keef. I know that's right. Shout out to the building. Now, when it comes to your singing, because I always hear like from most singers, which you are that as well. When did you start getting into the vocals, the tunes? When did you tap into that?
Yeah, so singing was my first love. I grew up in church. So I was singing every Sunday. I knew early when I was a little girl that, you know, singing was my first love. But I feel like it didn't pick up until after the rap kind of like. Yeah, a lot of people know me for my rap. That's what I first started with. But eventually, you know, I got to really show off my vocals and, you know, just bring it back.
So let's stick to the bars. So I always ask this when it comes to all of my rappers that come on here. Mm-hmm. So your bars, do you remember the first 16 you ever written?
Oh my God. I wish I could recite that first 16. You know, everybody starts somewhere. I remember I was in high school, so it had to have been, you know, something more basic or something more playful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the very beginning, I felt like, you know, it started like a hobby, something fun to do. Mm-hmm. Chicago was taking off with the drill scene, like everybody was rapping, and I felt like I was really just doing that to as a hobby, you know what I'm saying? Something fun to do with the culture. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember my first rhyme. I cannot remember it.
That's okay. Now, when it comes to representation, you know, that's very important. Who would you say you saw on television or just like in the rap game, music game, they don't care, television, movies, mm-hmm. when you saw yourself, who was that when you was like, you know what, I see myself in her and I want to get into this industry? Who was that for you?
You know, I feel like it's Destiny's Child for me.
Yeah.
And to be specific, I feel like Kelly was like the savior for me, like being a brown girl. Mm-hmm. I loved Beyonce. I loved the whole Destiny's Child. But watching Kelly perform, you know, watching her stand next to her, it was always like, man, you know, it's room for everybody. And seeing all those shades, mm-hmm. I was like inspired.
And you know she had that recent interview over there at Hot 97 where she talked about how she was a brown light and people compared her to standing next to the light.
Yes, I felt that interview so much because it's so true. Like, as a darker skinned woman in the industry, you know, you hear those things often. And so it felt good to hear her, like, you know, really basically stand up for the chocolate girls. And she just represents us so well. So I love that interview. I love the way she handled that.
Period. Yes, I totally agree. Now, since we are talking about inspirations, before we get into pillow talk, hip hop inspirations. Who was that for you on the female side, since this is women in hip hop?
Yes, it's always going to be Lauryn Hill for me. The miseducation of Lauryn Hill was such a man, it was so impactful for me because I just felt like I could resonate even at a young age. She made us all feel like, you know, worth something. So Lauryn Hill definitely gave me like, and she also gave me like that confidence rapping and singing. Like one of the first people to really bring that to the game. So yeah, Lauryn Hill was it for me.
I like when you said she kind of showed you a word or something about words because I always quote that line,
Yeah.
like my go-to line when it comes to Lauryn Hill, when she said, "Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem." You
That's what
already know.
I'm. Yes, and that's why she's so impactful because like her lyrics, if you like dissect them, she was building us up. So
Absolutely. So I love that this conversation is building up because we got to talk about how you've been consistent throughout the game. You mentioned 2012 was when you kicked things off from Winter's Diary to Pillow Talk. What keeps you going, baby girl? Because you have been consistent.
honestly, it's really the fans. I have such a close connection, you know, with the people that listen to me. I feel like it's because they've watched me grow and they know my story. But that's the reason that I continue to do it. It's not about anything else. This industry is ruthless. You know what I mean? It's not, how can I put it? I have like my fans are my reason. You know what I mean? Like it's not about the money, it's not about the clout. I really enjoy helping people, and I also enjoy like I guess giving back in a way. Like when I'm telling, you know, when I'm telling someone's story, that's the fulfillment for me. You know, watching people really resonate and find healing in it, and I don't know, I feel like I got a duty now to really put on for my girls.
Ah, that's exactly what I have here as my notes. Thank you for putting on for the
Yeah.
girls. I literally
It's real. I feel like music is so segregated now. It's like we hear so much of like male rappers. It's male dominated, and I think, you know, it's safe to say that you know, women are just now using their voices more and we're being heard, and I just feel like I'm a part of that militia. You know what I'm trying to say of like female empowerment, and I just really take pride in that.
I see that you took pride in this album, Pillow Talk. Can we just talk about some of the tracks that's on here? That's my personal faves, and I'm going to ask you what's your personal faves because
Yes.
Starting Off with Going Bad was an amazing track to kick it off with. I love that. Switch, of course, and I love the performance that you did with Switch as well. But Goofy, Goofy.
Okay.
Something about Goofy, when you say resonate with the girls, I think for me, it was just almost like I didn't want to resonate with it, but it's so real that I'm like, I have to resonate with this because we all been goofy at one point of
Yeah.
time.
And I about that. I thought it over before I released the song. I really sat down with my team and I wanted to make sure, you know, I was skeptical. I'm like, I want them to receive it and take it in the right light. Because it is a strong topic, you know, to call yourself goofy for a man. It's very it's just almost too brutally honest. But I think in hindsight, I'm glad that I did, you know, just still put the record out because Pillow Talk, the whole album is not supposed to be safe. You know, and I didn't want to make a safe album. So, you know, it was good to kind of just expose the truth. It's not always gonna be pretty.
Well, that's not life. We just talked about how ugly life can be earlier, you know. So why not keep it real when it's in your music? Because you've been doing it thus far, and we know about the woman empowerment, but it's okay to be like, all right, y'all, we all been there. We slipped up.
And I think people relate to that too. Like, you know, when you just keep it honest 100%, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
You know, respect that too.
Yeah. And then we got Cater, which I love. Of course, we got the Destiny Child sample. There was a sample on Goofy as well, no? Because I'm hearing it, and I'm like, this reminds me of something.
It is. It's actually 702. What's the exact song? I can't tell you the exact song, but it's a 702 sample in there.
It's something. I'm like, I know this beat. I know this beat. That I went to the track and I was like, wait, Donnell Jones is.
Oh, yeah. Yes, working with Hitmaker, you always find like a gem underneath those, you know, the production. So it's 702.
Okay. I'm going to find a record. I'm going to tap in and let the people right. know. I know I heard, I said, it's a sample, but the song is on the tip of my tongue. Mine, I'm a huge fan of Money Long, just like you. So I love to see the girls collaborating. Amazing record.
Thank you. And Money Long, big shouts out to her. It was just a pleasure. I just got to always give her flowers. She's such a great person to work with. Like the entire process, it was just so easy and natural. So I really like, hats off to Money for being just a real team player.
Yeah, man, you guys feed off of each other pretty well. I love that. Tusi, the record with Tusi is amazing, fabulous. I'm a huge fan of Fab. I say he's such an underrated lyricist. He's top five, arguably. I mean, it's an argument if you don't feel that way, but it's worth the conversation. I love Fab. And the last record, I Choose Me, that was it. That song, that right there, like that, I'm like, took me. In a great one,
place. Yeah, that's one of my favorites on the album too. It's literally just me singing over a guitar track, like just one of my most vulnerable songs too. It's like based off a true story, and those are songs that I always hit when I'm just being too honest.
So I broke down my faves. Like I said, the whole album is amazing.
Yes,
those are some of my faves. What would you say is Tink's favorite songs on the album?
My favorite record is Ghetto Love featuring G Herbo. Yeah, just because it's a Chicago collab, it off back, you know, I'm biased. But no, I think that song just resonates because it's like, I'm telling my truth and I'm telling it from the lady's point of view, then having Herb come in and, you know, give a real street nigga perspective. We appreciate
Now you talked about working with Hitmaker, and pretty much he has his hands on every song on this album, correct?
Correct. It's always a few that I kind of do in my own process, but he's definitely overseeing the whole album for sure.
Yeah, you guys have great chemistry. Talk to me about, you know, both being from Chicago and this chemistry and how this all just like works in the studio. Describe it for me, please.
Yeah, Hitmaker, like you said, we met, he's from Chicago, I'm from Chicago. I met him doing music in the studio. And we just got so much, so many similar, like similarities with each other. Us being from the crib, we share a lot of common interests. So making music is really fun. I think that's the missing ingredient. Like a lot of people forget, you know, to have fun while you're making this music, so it doesn't feel like a stressful thing. So Hitmaker came in, and you know, when I met him, he comes in the studio and he's already got 100 songs ready to go. And me being from the Shy, I love to record alone, so it was like a process getting to know each other. And he kind of opened my eyes to working with a team. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, because I'm so used to putting these albums together with just me and maybe an engineer. So when he comes in, he brings in, you know, there's producers with him, there's writers with him, there's people that can actually play the keys behind you if you want. Mm-hmm. It's just a full blown like musical world. Yes, listen, and I really just appreciated that part, just expanding and growing. So it's been a ride. I really appreciate like the element he brings to, you know, what I have going. So
yeah. Well, I mean, you was quoted calling him your special friend, which we all was like, You say y'all have a great working and personal relationship. So if you could do some pillow talk, is there any song on the record that you would say reminds you of a special friend?
If I had to put a song, wow. Pillow Talk is such a dangerous album, though. It's like, man, I'm thinking he would have to be the Ghetto Love.
I was about to say, Ghetto
I'm only crying because it's like the song is it's so true to like any relationship, you're gonna have a ghetto moment or two, you know. So whatever you want to call your situation.
Yeah.
But Ghetto Love feels real because we both from Chicago and
Yeah.
understand each other like that.
Yeah, y'all speak the same language, same love language. How about that? Now the people know that you were assigned to Timbaland. And I love, because I've saw past interviews where it seemed like the working relationship obviously is vastly different than what you have with Hitmaker when it comes to like collaborating. Are you guys, have you spoken to Timbaland? Because with the album that just came out, is it any like congratulations, sis? I see you working. Like, has there any recently been any communication?
Yeah, me and Timbaland are actually in good graces. I actually invited him to the studio to hear the album. So there's no tension or anything like that. I still got a lot of love for Tim. We
Yeah.
just had a situation that didn't work out, a business situation that didn't work. But he heard the album. He actually heard Switch before we turned it in. And when it dropped, Tim actually went online and gave me a lot of love. He he shouted him out and just sent the message out to the world, like, fuck with Tink and it's time for my girl to get hers. So he showed love, you know what I'm saying? It's all love over here. I'm still grateful for the work we did and put in, so we're in a great space.
I love that. I love to be such a legend. Speaking of the work that you guys did in, you do own your own catalog.
Yes, ma'am. That's the real, that's a big deal.
Absolutely. Talk to me about the importance of ownership.
Oh my God, it's so important. You know why? It's like we don't look at it. It's not important right now, but it matters later. And that's why some people, it's easy to like get tripped up because it won't make a difference until you're like 40 years in or when your kids are having kids. But it really is, it's me being independent. Once I got freed from being under a label, I tightened up all my work behind the scenes, and I have control over my master, so that means that every record that I release, I'll be paid for the rest of my life, with nobody in the middle of, my earnings. So like I say, for anybody that's an artist, it may not have value right now, but the bigger you grow and, if you continue to keep working, it's going to be so much more valuable if you hold on to it later on.
I love that. I love that. Now, with the ownership with your catalog, is this including the music that you did with Timbaland?
Well, outside of those records, we didn't get to release it much, so it may maybe a few. That was kind of like the beauty of it. I got to keep my masters, and once I was released, all of it.
Wow, I love that. Okay. So, I mean, because I'm thinking about the song, because I know unfortunately the album never came out with Tim, but there was a lot of songs and collabs. Was there any that we never heard that we will hear, you think?
Man, we would have to call Timbaland.
Okay, that's fair. Timbaland, let them loose. Okay, so what about we may not hear them? Say it again, T.
I think of those records to this day and wonder, like, what can we do with them? But they're like I say, they those belong to Timbaland, so we'd have to talk to Big Tim.
Okay, so that conversation gonna be coming soon. Any collabs that you did do that you would love for us to hear that we don't know about? Because you worked with some amazing artists, and he had the pull for you to work with just about anybody. Who you collab with that we haven't heard?
I feel like the biggest song was Moving Bass, and he actually premiered it online. He premiered it actually not online, but we went to the Breakfast Club. So there's like a reference track floating around. It's not the official, there's like a radio track from what they recorded, but it's Moving Bass and it features me, Jay-Z, and Rick Ross. That might have been the heaviest song I ever, you know, recorded. But yeah, there's a track floating. It's on YouTube. But I would love for that song to come out, you know, just to get to work with the legendary Jay-Z.
Yeah. And,
you know what I mean? That was very big for me. An honor, you know.
For sure. I heard the record. It's amazing. And I know it's definitely out there on YouTube. So y'all go check it out. Rick Ross, Jay-Z, Ting, Moving Bass. But it hasn't officially been out. So you would love for it to officially come out.
Absolutely. I think who doesn't want a record with Jay-Z, you know, in the catalog?
How was that working process? Were y'all actually in the studio together?
No, so I think that's where the confusion came in, because the song was actually Ross and Jay-Z's. And me working with Timbaland, he would always just play records and ask me to write verses. And so he left me with both of their verses, and I kind of went in and constructed a song around it.
I love it. And did Rick Ross have an issue with that? Was that the thing?
Yeah, and I don't want to touch on it too much because it's a past thing, but it's just business, you know, because we didn't clear it.
Okay.
But any artist would, you know, they would kind of want to double check and make sure things are aware of. But like I said, that was a past thing. We've all learned from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Love over here. So yeah, here we are.
It's all love over there. I love that. Now, can we just talk your 2015 freshman class? Because I feel like when I look at that cover and I see women like you and Dej Loaf, and I remember the following year, there was no one. And then we fast forward, here we are in 2022, and it's like this real influx of just like female rappers that are really killing it. Can you speak to that? It's like, how do you feel about the current state of female rap?
Man, the current state is so inspiring to me. I just feel like women as a whole, we're finding ways to really run the game, and also just seeing women collaborating more, that's like everything that, you know, is needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like we still have like ways to go. It's still like women are allowed to be in the game, but it's also very, how do you put it? The box is very narrow.
Mm.
Love to see, you know, women of all sizes, women of all colors, you know what I'm trying to say, women of all shapes.
Yeah.
I feel like the industry has to, you know, a few more doors we still trying to break down, but all in all, it's good to see more of us, mm-hmm. Even more representation.
Yeah, and I love that you said that, because I remember your freestyle with the 2015 with Double XL, the freshman cover, and you tapped in a little bit into like colorism, a little mm-hmm. bit. Like if I was, you know, light skinned, and maybe this would be, do you feel like that's something that you had to constantly struggle with since being in this industry? Because you're so young now, and when you got here, you were what age? So to
maybe 18, 17.
Right. And I have a lot of friends that are all kinds of colors. My mother is super light, but I just feel like the conversation on colorism is like people almost, I've heard people say they don't even think that's a real thing. I'm like, oh no, that's a real thing. So to hear you tap into that, I was like, thank you, because it's a real thing.
Absolutely. And it's very real for me. Mm-hmm. Like I say, I've just watched the game for a while, and we notice it even in today's, it's like in today's time, I can name you a lot of very talented rap females that may be a darker shade that don't get the proper shine or chance. I just think, you know, women, we just stop complaining about it, you know, and that doesn't make it right. It's just something that we've learned to like work hard and work past. But like I said, that's why I'm hoping for more inclusion, because it is harder for women, and a lot of us are very talented, but there's like the stigma of what a female rapper should look like. And that's the way her body should be built. That's the color of her skin, the clothes, type of clothes she should wear, you know? So I feel like we got to get past those stereotypes and like, you know, break down that barrier that's holding a lot of talent back.
Thanks for saying that. Yeah, and I respect all the girls doing whatever they want to do, whether it be if you want to look a certain way, whether it's tap into surgery, if that's your thing, that's your thing. But if a woman wants to be naturally themselves, I also feel like that needs to be embraced as well. So shout out to women like yourself, Coi Leray, Glorilla. Glorilla says she's thick and she don't care what y'all think about it.
That's right. That's the ultimate confidence, you know, any F for
Yeah.
sure.
Yes. If I want to, I want to talk to you real quick because it just hit me when I mentioned Coi Leray. I know this is something that just recently was talked about when it comes to the controversy with Latto's songs being leaked and artists. And I know you're an artist and a songwriter. And I know Coi Leray was saying, you know, she writes her own lyrics, but like how things really go down in the studio. She was like, a lot of us is ignorant. Y'all really don't know, you know, when you hear a reference track. Once I get it, I make it my own and I can like recreate it. And as a songwriter, I just kind of want you to speak to that for the people that don't know what really goes down in the studio.
Yeah, so I mean, she's not lying about anything. It's more so, I think. So when a song is made, a lot of times people will take different pieces that they like from a writer. And sometimes that can be the hook, sometimes that will be the verse, sometimes it'll just be a cadence. But a lot of the songs they're made, you know, they come from a team of people. So that's why when you see like the writer credits, you'll notice there's about 10 names. And that's been going on for forever. So I don't think, you know, I don't think it's so much a problem. I think it's just when people just kind of like lie about it. And unfortunately, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to throw nobody under no bus because this is the entertainment industry. People are lying about a lot. But I, when it comes to rap, you know, I'm still very much a fan of being honest about your pen. And it's okay now, you know. I don't think people should feel bad about saying, you know, I got a verse, me and so and so collabs. The only problem is just when you stand on something that's not yours. So, you know, you just gotta keep it 100. And I feel like we at a space now in music where people don't give a fuck no more, and it's okay. You know, I know a lot of the bigger names in music, I won't even say, but men are getting help. You know, it's not a problem for a lot of the men. Yeah. And they'll tell you the writers, they'll be like, they'll write their name in their records, and you know, it's just not an issue. But when it comes to women, they put a microscope on us. So
And
I
I
was,
guess so much.
yeah, I would just say, you know, just to be honest about it, so it don't even come back in to haunt you.
I feel like it's an unfair conversation because it's always the magnifying glass on women when you look at any other rappers, all the rappers, you see it. I was just listening to a Jay-Z song and I was like, oh my God, it's one of my favorite songs. And I went to the credits and it was like 10 names on there. And it's like, that doesn't discredit him, but that's never a conversation that you hear on the male counterparts. It's only for the women.
Yeah, Jay may be the one. He may be the 1% that does write everything. There are some rappers that really do write everything, and sometimes they'll put the sample, the person that samples, name in the credits. But I know Jay-Z is like one of the very few. But again, it's not an issue. I don't think it's an issue like it used to. Or you shouldn't feel bad if somebody is collabing with you on a verse.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So thanks for clearing that up, Miss Songwriter, singer, rapper.
Sure.
Okay, so as we wrap this up, this is my confessional hour. So it's just five questions. It usually warrant one word answers really
Gotcha.
quick, like flash
Okay.
segment. Okay. If you was to do a ladies' night version, who would your collaboration be? It's five artists on there, I guess, including yourself. So give me four. Yeah.
Okay, it would be me.
You
Can I do an R&B collab?
could do any, yep. R&B sing, rapper, yep.
Summer Walker, me, Summer Walker, Glorilla, Nicki Minaj, SZA.
Ooh, I'm buying that off rip. Can we make it happen? Hit maker, everyone can call.
All flavors, all voices, tones.
That would be so killer. Okay, dream collaboration.
Drake.
Ooh, okay. Yes. Favorite collaboration so far?
My favorite. Me and Jeremiah, Don't Tell Nobody.
Legend.
Favorite. Will always be a favorite to perform. Don't.
Legendary. Yes. Okay. Biggest pet peeve. What is it that Tink absolutely hates?
My biggest pet peeve. I'm gonna just say my biggest pet peeve is not being on time. I'm such a punctual person. I get anxiety if I'm like 5 minutes late. Like everything on time. My man gotta be on time. Everything gotta run like clockwork.
What's your zodiac sign?
A Pisces.
Okay. How old is that a Pisces thing? I'm gonna look into that. Okay, favorite in order, singing, rapping, or songwriting.
Number one, singing. Two, songwriting. Three is rapping.
Ooh, okay, wow. Okay. One word to describe pillow talk.
Sultry, seductive. That's two, but can I get two?
I'll take them both. Sultry and seductive. I love that. So thank you so much for this interview. This is the end of this interview. I had so much fun kicking it with you. You are an amazing talent. Whatever I can do to support you moving forward, I am here. I will be screaming your name at the mountaintops, like, make sure y'all support Tig. She is the real deal. In any room I'm in, where they're talking about who got now, who had it
Understood.
then, who got it now, I'm definitely gonna be screaming Tink. So,
No, because I need you out here in this game. So thank you.
again, thank you for putting on for the girls. It's so needed and it's so respected and it's so loved. So continue doing great things.
I will. I got you, Jazzy.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Sage. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
I created a space where we can celebrate the unsung and the undervalued. A place where we focus on the many talents and influences for women within the culture in hopes to inspire women everywhere to overcome adversity in a male-dominated world. Welcome to Woman in Hip Hop.